Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin arrahmanir rahim. Malik yaumiddin wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulih sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain. Fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alaihi wa sallimu taslima. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين وقال تعالى واللاتي أتين الفاحشة من نسائكم فاستشهدوا عليهن أربعة منكم فَإِنْ شَهِدُوا فَأَمْسِكُوهُنَّ فِي الْبُيُوتِ حَتَّى يَتَوَفَّاهُنَّ الْمَوْتُ أَوْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُنَّ سَبِيلًا وَقَالَ تَعَالَى الزَّانِيَةُ وَالزَّانِي فَاجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِنْهُمَا مِائَةَ جَلْدَةٍ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. My dear friends, I have chosen a very very important topic for today's discussion, a topic very very important in the sense recently, the media, the television, the radios, the papers, in fact, table talk and panchayat khana talks was revolving around this particular issue. It is such an important issue that unfortunately, many people are confused regarding the Islamic verdict and Islamic ruling on this particular issue. And I'm sure most of you who followed my Quranic quotation, one or two words were quite familiar, and some of you exactly know what I'm going to talk about, inshallah al-Aziz. What is the topic? The topic is stoning in Islam. Is it Sharia, yes or no? I am not interested in Amina Lawal. That's not my topic. The topic is a principle. Is there such a thing as stoning in Islam? That's the topic. Whether it exists, whether it did not exist, what is the issue? The sad part is, and that's what prompted me to speak, my second bayan I'm giving now on this particular topic, is that Muslims, leave you the awamun nas, you I call awamun nas, the general public, people claim to be scholars of Islam, they are making very very rash remarks regarding this particular issue, so much so that even our two ministers who are Muslim by name, have made some very rash remarks. As a result of which they're walking on what is called, according to Mufti A.K. Hussain, walking on thin ice. Because statement was there in the newspapers, stoning Islam is barbaric. If that is the case, I won't say the next line. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His mercy has decreed that this will be the punishment and this will be the punishment until the day of Qiyamah. We don't want to go into the details of the issue. We're just looking at basically the principle, is it Sharia, yes or no? Those people who rejected stoning in Islam, right, this is what they said. They said stoning in Islam is not Sharia. I want you to follow. I am doing this like not a bayan, like a sabak. I may ask a question, Mr. Mullah, you'll have to respond to my answer as well. This is a very, very important sabak, inshallah. At the end of the bayan, you will appreciate what I have shared with you, inshallah, al-Aziz. Because my object is to protect those unwary people who are joining the bandwagon and also making rash remarks. And when you make rash remarks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about the amal Allah that we made, about the orders the Master gave, if you reject that, then you're walking on dangerous line. And a person may not even know it, iman will be at a loss. And I'm sure you read the papers and you saw many an article that maybe you are confused. And you don't know which way to turn to. So this is the objective, inshallah al-Aziz, okay? So what did they say? They said, the stoning is not Sharia. Why? Because stoning is not mentioned in Quran. That's the argument. I repeat, what did they say? Stoning is not Sharia because stoning is not mentioned in Quran. I say I agree with you one line, not the second line. I agree with you that stoning is not in Quran. But is stoning Sharia? I say, yes, it is Sharia. Why? Because if you say, because it's not in Quran, it is not Sharia, then there are so many things not in Quran, yet you follow those things. Then where's your Sharia then? Let's go back again. What did they say? Because it's not in Quran, it is not Sharia. So I say, and you will agree with me, inshallah al-Aziz, there are so many things not in Quran, yet they are Sharia. Take the fundamental teaching of Islam after Kalima. What is it? Salah. Umpteen verses in the Quran, wa aqimu salah, over and over again. Theek hai? Open the entire Quran, you will not find any statement saying there are five salah for the day. Where you got your five from? Number two. Two rakat fajr, four rakat zuhr, three maghrib, four isha, four asr. Nowhere in the Quran where you got that from. Yet you are hard and fast on that. Wa atu zakah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared, give zakat. We are paying 2.5%. Where we got that from? There are so many practical issues which we employ in our daily lives according to what we call Sharia. But they're not in the Quran and we say it is Sharia. Am I right? Very basic. This is the introduction part. Let's go a bit further. Let's go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah Muazzama, the first 13 years of Islam. What do we see? The very first sabak promoted by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Qulu la ilaha illallah dakhalal jannah, mashallah. After that, very few commandments came. Salah came and a few other practical issues, simply like what? Don't speak lies, be honest, be good to your neighbor. Abstain from carrion. Carrion is haram items. You know, not slaughtered according to Allah's law. And in the rush in between, one other commandment came, a prohibition. Right? Do not commit zina. Open para 15, Surah Bani Israel, that's a Makkah surah. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Allah is saying, don't go near zina. Allah did not mention punishment in Makkah. Because in Makkah Muazzama, we're talking of dunya punishment. In Makkah Muazzama, it was not possible for the Musliman to even implement, right, all the teachings the way they wanted to do it. They had to do it in secrecy, even Salah was in secrecy, am I right? Yes, Allah Nabi did teach us, Allah Sallam, that when he went for Miraj and came back, among the various punishment that he witnessed was the punishment of zina. We don't want to go in that detail. But it was there, prohibition. Okay? I'd like to believe, and I believe in that as well, and I hope you join me as well. In Makkah Muazzama, leave any other sin. Sin means disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a single sahabi, you will not find inshallah, summa inshallah, not a single sahabi being a victim of sin in Makkah Muazzama. Not one. Leave any sin, zina was out of the question. You will not find a single one in Makkah Muazzama committing any disobedience against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let alone zina. So for 13 years in Makkah, we got total commitment. Why? For them, survival of Islam was virtually impossible, but they made it through with Allah's fazl. Then we have a band of people coming from Madinah Munawwara for Hajj. I'm giving a summary. Allah Nabi gives them Islam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Among one of the teachings that he conveyed to them, the actual teaching appears in para 28. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu idha ja'aka al-mu'minat yubay'anaka ala alla yushrikna billahi shay'an wa la yasriqna wa la yazdina, and goes on. The third command Allah said in that verse, which Allah's Nabi took a promise from these Medina people, wa la yazneen, do not commit zina. So zina out of the question. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes now to Madinah Munawwara, and here they are free to make amal on Islamic teachings. Allah Nabi establishes the first ever Islamic government in Madinah Munawwara, and gradually one by one the laws are coming in very fast. Prohibitions and farais. And the question of zina doesn't exist. No person guilty of zina, especially among the old Sahaba Ikram. We're getting others coming in, and definitely the danger is there that somebody may get involved in the act of zina. Now, a question is raised. If a person
gets involved in the act of zina, what will be the punishment here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies in Suratul Nisa. Suratul Nisa is one of the early surahs to be sent down in Madinah Munawwara. In Madinah Munawwara, the first surah that came down was Surah Baqarah. No zina word at all in Surah Baqarah. Surah Ala Imran was the next one. Not immediately, but followed shortly. Right? No word, I think, of zina existed. But the Suratul Nisa in the very beginning section, in the first quarter, third last page of fourth sipara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now addressing the issue of zina. If somebody is found guilty of zina, what will be the punishment be? And if you know your Islamic history, you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gradually took the sahaba to perfection. Therefore, there was lots of changes and amendments. We don't want to go in that detail. Let's come back to the topic. When the question is raised now, if a person commits zina, what will the punishment be? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds with the following ayat. وَالَّاتِي يَأْتِينَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مِن نِسَائِكُمْ. And those women from among you, meaning your wives. يَأْتِينَ الْفَاحِشَةَ. Fahisha means zina. Those women that engage in the evil act of zina. فَاسْتَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةً مِّنْكُمْ. After you prove their guilt by the testimony of four witnesses, four men, four Muslims amongst you, what must you do? وَالَّاتِي يَأْتِينَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمْ فَاسْتَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةً مِّنْكُمْ. فَإِنْ شَهِدُوا. Once the four men testify, okay, we witness the act of zina taking place. فَإِنْ شَهِدُوا فَأَمْسِكُوهُنَّ فِي الْبُيُوتِ. Before I explain what was the initial punishment in the dunya, introduced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understand something else. Very simple logic. A man can only get involved in zina if the woman does not cooperate. Agreed? I repeat. A man will only get involved in zina if she does not cooperate. You can try as much as you like. Use all your persuasive powers. But if she does not cooperate, you cannot make the zina. I'm not talking rape. But when she cooperates, then the act of zina will take place. Take care. So Allah addresses the woman first. If she opens herself, allows herself to be used in the act of zina, then she will be the one that's going to be punished first. How so? فَأَمْسِكُوهُنَّ فِي الْبُيُوتِ. Confine them in the home. Modern terminology, put them under house arrest. For how long? حَتَّى يَتَوَفَّاهُنَّ الْمَوْتِ. Until they die. أَوْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُنَّ سَبِيلًا. Or until such time that Allah will provide a way for that particular case or that particular sin. Understood that, everybody? For a while, this law stood. I haven't come across. If any alim comes across that information, please give it to me because I'm doing research on this, inshallah. If you come across anybody in that time who was found guilty of zina, I'm talking female, and then she was put under house arrest, I'll appreciate the information. Right? The very next ayat, وَالَّذَانِ يَأْتِيَانِهَا مِنْكُمْ فَآذُوهُمَا. Allah addresses the issue of the men. Woman under house arrest. As far as the man is concerned, Allah Ta'ala says, give him taklif, punish him. Allah does not describe what kind punishment. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala informs us, he gives an example. Some of the punishment will be, give him a damn good hiding. Even take champan and choose and give it to him. Like India is famous story. In our zamana when we were there, we saw this sometime when a youngster, not us, alhamdulillah. If somebody interfered with a woman there, and she'll scream and the whole mob will come and champal ke saath dana adar le maro. Now that is a humiliating punishment, my friends. So in other words, the man must be embarrassed. Acha, the years go by. One day Nabi-e-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered the masjid. And he told the Sahaba Ikram, khudu anni, my dear Sahaba, come. Come and take from me, come and take from me. Take from me what? In the meanwhile, the whole crowd assembled. Come and take from me what? Let's go back. What did Allah Ta'ala say? If they found guilty after testimony the woman, via four witnesses, then put them on the house arrest, or until such time that they die, or until such time that Allah provides the way. So Allah Nabi replies now, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has now provided the way what he mentioned there. And what is the punishment now? Unmarried person, male or female, 100 lashes. Married person, stoned to death. Have you understood? This is now in the early part. We're looking at maybe second, third year of Islam. Announcement is made. I'm still researching. We come to the year 4 Hijri. Which year, Mullah? 4 Hijri. Famous incident, Bibi Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha was scandalized. You all know the details, I've heard that over and over again from ulama. I would want to just say one point. After she was scandalized, and the zina accusation was made against her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down two ruku, Suratul Nur. In the first ruku, Allah discusses the punishment of zina. Allah discusses the punishment of those who make false accusation against anybody regarding zina, especially against women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also discusses the purity of Bibi Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha. He made very, very clear, Subhanaka hadha buhtanun azim. This talk against Bibi Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha is a clear blasphemous charge. Open and shut. She is free from this accusation. Have you understood? Let us go back. No other place in the Quran Sharif will you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discussing now the actual punishment of zina. What Allah Ta'ala said? Az-zaniyatu waz-zani fajlidu kulla wahidin minhuma miyata jalda. The female zaniya and the male zani. I'm using the Arabic term. Lash them 100 lashes each and take no pity when you carry out that punishment. And not only that, a group from among you Musliman must witness that punishment. Take, we're going to pause here. I said this is a sabak, not a bayan bayan. We saw in the beginning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned what? House arrest. Allah Nabi came sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shortly after that and mentioned this is what Allah has sent down regarding the way out after house arrest. Either lashing unmarried person or stoning to death. Followed? 4 Hijri was the waqia of Bibi Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. In 4 Hijri or so, this ayat of lashing, whipping, right, came down. Tick? Okay. Let's go further. Two famous incidents recorded in the hadith. There were very few cases of zina charges and punishment being meted out, very few. But the two most famous ones, I will share now with you, inshallah. A young man by the name of Ma'iz ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tahhirni, purify me. Allah Nabi understood what he is talking about, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and said to him, away from here, go. Fastaghfirullah. Make istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will forgive you, go. Purify me is the key word here. All of us know, we have been taught, any sin that a person commits, big or small, what have we learned? A black spot appears on the heart. That black spot, we call it a napak spot. And then they build up. Then depending on the kind of sin, the bigger the spot.
And zina is considered a very napak crime. So bad a crime that the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the couple actually engage in the zina, start the procedure of the act, iman comes out of the body. Iman hovers on one side until the act is completed, and when the parties separate, iman returns. Iman is pure of all pures. It cannot tolerate me being in the person while he is engaged in such an evil act. So, act of zina classified as napak. The sin is napak. Stain and tarnish is now there. Maiz is saying, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, purify me, tahhirni. Allah's Nabi has said, understood, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, go away. He went away. He came back again, either same day or the next day. There are various reports here. So let's say he came back next day. The master sent him away again, same words he used. Sent him away. He came back a third day. The master sent him away. He came back a fourth day. Now remember, the man is confessing. There's no charges here. Nobody arrested him. He's coming on his own. He understood the seriousness of his crime. He wants Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to eradicate completely, to purify him from the evil that he committed. Understood? Therefore he said, tahhirni, purify me. When he made the fourth concession, the fourth confession, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now asked him the clear question, what must I purify you from? So he said, minaz zina. Allah's Nabi said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is this man mad? The people who knew him, they said, no, he's not. Next question. Are you under the influence? Did you drink wine? Boys, my friends, you know what the punishment is. You must try and imagine in your mind. There is the accused, after being found guilty, the whole community with a brick and a rock in the hand, they're lambasting him. You think it's a nice sight? For you to stand there from all sides, be bombarded with rocks and bricks, very grisly sight. For you to be able to take that, not easy. The master is saying, are you mad? Are you drunk? No. Next question. Did you actually commit zina? He said, yes. Are you married? Yes. Allah Nabi said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now I got no choice but to inflict upon you the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take him there. Where is there? You've been to Madinah Munawwara? Nabi's mimbar, mihrab, and you say, there, where is there? Jannatul Baqi. Take him there and stone him to death. The drama is over. Fast forward. Allah's Nabi said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my dear Sahaba, ask Allah to forgive him. But then he added another line, and that gives us some food for thought here. After asking the Sahaba ikram, pray to Allah for his forgiveness. The master then says, the tawbah that this man has made, the punishment that he allowed himself to go through, to be inflicted upon him, is so powerful. His tawbah is so powerful. If the tawbah was to be distributed in an ummah, here ulama mention either one village, one town, and the word ummah can also mean the entire ummah, the Muslimah. His tawbah is so powerful, it can earn for the entire ummah the maghfirat for their guna and sin. Can you understand? Why is Allah Nabi asking the Sahaba to make istighfar for him when the man has already been cleansed? Very simple. By nature, human nature, we looked down upon a sinner. Definitely when they saw the case, they heard the case, they punished him. Now in their heart is a kind of lonely, So Allah Nabi is reviving the azmat in the heart, make dua maghfirat for him. Yeh chapter khatam. Shortly thereafter, this kissa. Comes a lady by the name, from the family of Hamidiya. We don't know her name. And she came and said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tahhirni, purify me. Allah Nabi said to her, go, return home, make istighfar, Allah will forgive you, go. You know what she said? Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are you turning me away like you turn my eyes away? I have committed zina and the evidence of my zina is I am pregnant. She was a previously married woman. She wants to be cleansed of her sin. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is that pregnancy due to zina? Yes, it is. Okay. You go home now. When you give birth, you come back. I'd like to think, time is going also. Just bear with me. The khutbah will be short, inshallah. I must finish my bayan here. I'd like to think 6 months later she came back. Because by second and third month they know they are pregnant, and confirmed. So 6 months later roughly she came back. Here's the child, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That means, inflict upon me the had of Allah. The master said, your child needs you, breastfeed him. When your child is no longer in need of your milk, you come back. Quran says, woman must feed for 2 years. And we know, as the years, months go by, the child moves more away from the milk towards solids. I'd like to think 18 months later she came back. She brought the child and came. And the child, as evidence, had in the hand a piece of bread. Dry, hard bread. And the child is munching. Hada, Ya Rasulullah. There's my child now. There's the evidence. Allah, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of my sahaba, take charge of this child. Adopt this child. Child was given away and the master sallallahu alaihi wasallam pronounced death sentence by stoning. One of the people that was present there was Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The hadith says here, Khalid took a rock in his hand, turned towards this lady and threw his rock. The rock struck her on the head. And the blood that gushed out from that wound sprayed the face of Khalid bin Walid. Blood is napak. Don't have time for more detail here. Khalid is angry. Napak, blood of a napak woman has sprayed on my face and he is angry. And he began to launch verbal abuse. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Mahlan ya Khalid, take it easy ya Khalid, don't swear, don't condemn her. The tawbah that she has made ya Khalid, walladhi nafsi biyadihi, by him in whose control is my life. If an evil, oppressive, unjust, extortionist, these are all my words, tax collector, makes tawbah, like that, all his guna maaf. Both the parties, they were separate entities, were given ghusl, kafan, Allah's Nabi led their janazah, salah, sallallahu alayhi. Now the key word here, my friends, is Khalid bin Walid. He's the key word. Khalid bin Walid became Musliman in the year 7 Hijri. 6 Hijri Zilqada, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam went for Umrah. I'm going to go with fast. After Hudaybiyah treaty, when they were not allowed to make Umrah, when they came back, it's now 7 Hijri. Khalid become Musliman. Khalid is present here to stone Ghamidiyya lady, am I right? The verse regarding Az-Zaniyatu Az-Zani, Fajlidu Kulla Wahidin Minhuma Miyata Jalda came down in 4 or latest 5 Hijri. So those who don't agree with the stoning, I say, is not in, they say not in the Quran. Allah only said weeping. Where is the stoning? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite the fact that the verse came early only about weeping, implements the law of stoning years later. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the authority from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will expand, who will elaborate, who will implement the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth. What more you want? I can go on, there is no time. This bayan is supposed to be 1 or 2 hours after Isha. But in a nutshell, I think I have conveyed the important message to you. That long after the verse of Allah, which only discusses weeping, Allah Nabi implements not one but quite a few people stoned to death. The other day, reading a history kitab, I found one statement in Hajjatul Wida, the last sermon of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he emphasized one of the points: employ, inflict the hud of stoning on the married zaniya. Hajjatul Wida. Can you see what this? And in conclusion, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in his zamana, Umar ibn Khattab in his zamana, Usman Ghani in his zamana, Ali ibn Abi Talib in his zamana, all four Khulafa'i Rashideen employed the same procedure of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all of us know, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu atiullaha wa atiur rasul. O believers, obey Allah, obey His Rasul. So Sharia is not only Quran, Sharia is qala Allah and qala Rasul. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have understand. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you for your patience. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.